In today's gospel, Peter proclaims that Christ has the words of eternal life. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him to my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One day, a man was hiking in the mountains, stumbled on a rock, fell over the edge of a cliff. Luckily for him, as he's falling about 10 feet down, there's a tree growing out of the side. You've seen those old scraggly trees on cliffs. Well, he was able to grab that as he went by. So there he is hanging there, 10 feet down. He can't get up to the top. It's a big drop all the way down to the bottom. So he begins to shout, "Help, help, help, anybody, is anybody up there? Anybody up there, please help me." The voice answers, "Yes, I'm here." "Who are you?" "It's God." "God, is that really you there?" "Yes, yes, it is me, yes." "Well, God, please help me." God says, "Do you trust me?" Man says, "Oh, yes, God, I believe in you, I trust you, yes, I do." God says, "Let go of the branch." The man says, "Let go of the branch?" "Yes, let go of the branch." The man thinks about this for a minute and says, "Is anyone else up there?" I think it's a wonderful little story to illustrate the point of the scripture readings today, especially the first reading and the gospel. Because both of those readings ask the question, who do we listen to? Who do we trust? Who will we serve? In the first reading, we see the Israelite people ready now to go into the promised land. Joshua is now their leader. Moses has died. And before they go in, Joshua says to them, "Now look, when you get in there, you're going to be surrounded by all kinds of other peoples with their pagan gods. You have to decide, are you going to serve Yahweh, our God, or are you going to get seduced and serve all those other gods?" People say, "Oh, no, no, no. We will only serve and listen to our God, to Yahweh." That's their intention. Of course, we know that in history, they weren't always faithful to that. They were oftentimes seduced into the worship of false gods. In the book of Kings, one of the most famous examples of that is the whole story of Jezebel. Remember Jezebel, the name Jezebel? She was a Phoenician princess that the king of Israel had married to form alliances with the Phoenicians. When she came to Israel, she brought all of her pagan gods with her, the Baals, Astarte, and seduced a lot of the people into following them. But at least for the beginning here, the people are going to follow, listen only to Yahweh and follow him. Then in the gospel, Jesus has been teaching the people in these last, as he has us these last few weeks, about the bread of life, that he is the bread of life. You have to eat, feed on him to have life eternal. And a lot of the people don't understand what he's saying here. They find it difficult. They decide not to follow him anymore. And we're told that these are his disciples, not the apostles, but some of those who are following him seriously. They say today, this is a hard saying. We don't understand it. We can't follow him. And Jesus turns to the apostles, will you leave me too? And Peter makes that tremendous profession of faith. Lord, to whom shall we go? Where will we go? We have convinced you have the words of everlasting life. Now remember, Peter and the 12 didn't understand any more than anybody else what Jesus was talking about. They didn't know what he was going to do at the Last Supper. But they trust him. They will follow him. They will listen to him alone. So the question for you and me this morning is this. All these voices that we hear every day talking to us, telling us they've got the truth, they know what's right, who do we listen to? Who do we serve? Who do we follow? Is it Christ? Because like Peter, we believe he has the words of everlasting life. Or is it some other voice? Who do we listen to? Now, most of us here this morning, I'm sure, would say, we believe in Christ. We believe in his word. We do believe he has the word of everlasting life. We want to follow and serve only him. That's our intention. But do we let Christ's word govern our lives down in the concrete reality? It's one thing to say, I believe in the Lord, I will follow him. Another thing to do it down where we live every single day. You know, this past couple of weeks ago, I was watching one of the history channels, and there was a program on the Middle Ages. And they were talking about all the wars that took place in the Middle Ages. You know, it seemed like every time you turn around, France was fighting England, was fighting Spain, was fighting Portugal, all fighting one another over territory and land and whatever else. One war after another. And you know that all of those countries in those days were Catholic countries. They're all Catholics fighting one another. So imagine going into a church in any one of those countries during one of those wars. People are praying, oh God, be on our side. Be on our side. Help us prevail. Help us overcome our enemy. Bring us victory. At the same time they're making those kinds of prayers, what do they hear in the gospel? Love your enemy. Forgive those who harm you. Those who pick up the sword will die by the sword. All those kinds of things. So if they really were listening to Christ and following him, how could they be fighting one another? How could they be killing one another? You see, you can see them almost, if they thought about that, saying, well, Lord, we believe you have the words of everlasting life, but don't make us apply it here. We don't have to apply it here, do we? Even in our own time, the last, 15 or 20 years ago now, that horrible genocide that took place in the country of Rwanda, remember that? The Hutus and the Tutsis, two tribes killing each other, massacring each other, atrocities. You know that 80% of both the Tutsis and the Hutus were Catholic? 80% of both of those tribes are Catholic. Going into their churches, probably praying for victory again. What do they hear? Love your enemy. Forgive those who harm you. Lord, you want us to do that here? You want me, a Hutu, to not fight the Tutsis? Bring it down to our own lives. Who's the person right here this morning, as you come here, that you're most tempted to hate? Who is that person? Who's the person that maybe has caused you great harm and you're tempted to take out revenge on them? What is the Lord saying to you this morning, today, here? Forgive your enemy. turn the other cheek. What, Lord, you want me to do that? You want me to apply those words to that person? Really? Or again, different kind of example. Every week when you go to do your shopping, on the way out, you pick up your lottery tickets or your scratch cards. Maybe some weeks you spend $25, $30. Nothing wrong with that in itself. But then, you know, when you come here, the Lord oftentimes says to you, feed the hungry. Feed the hungry. In my name, feed the hungry. So as you're buying your scratch tickets, could you imagine the Lord saying to you, are you feeding the hungry? Substantially, in some substantial way, are you feeding the hungry? If you could say yes to that, fine. Buy your scratch tickets in good conscience. But if you have to say no to that, I'm not. And if you looked at it and you said, you know, I really couldn't make much, you know, do much for the hungry if I still bought this number of scratch tickets. I can't spend $30 a week on scratch tickets and still give some significant money to the hungry. I can't do that. I can't do both. What are you going to do? Well, Lord, you want me to deny myself my scratch tickets to feed the poor? Really? You see, that's where the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? Right down there in the real circumstances of our lives. Who do we listen to? Who do we follow? There, right down there in the nitty-gritty of life. So as we gather this morning, let's follow the example of Joshua and Peter and the 12 and say to the Lord, Lord, we do believe you have the words of everlasting life. We will follow you alone. Give us the grace to do that in real life, not just in theory, here, now, there. Give us the grace to do that. Because if we don't try to do that, if we don't let God's word confront us there, you know what we're saying? Is anybody else up there? That's what we're saying. Is anybody else up there? May God bless you.